Well, we confess our need of the Lord's help day by day so much. We totally depend upon Him. I believe the Lord is all that we need, as the song said. If we have the Lord on board, we're going to do all right. Thank the Lord this morning. You know, we've been thinking about our heritage as the people of God. And a heritage, as we've said before, Webster says it's an inheritance. It's an estate that passes from an ancestor to an heir by descent or course of law, that which is inherited. You know, the inheritance that we have, I know we've spoken of this 2 weeks before already, but we have so much that has been willed to us that we can't tell it for the rest of our life. We would never be able to explore the depths of all the inheritance that we have from the Lord. The Lord went away and He left us something. And He left us something very valuable and of great value. And He says all through the New Testament, you see where the Lord likens it to a field that had a great pearl of great price in it. And one went and sold all that they had and bought that field. But the Lord has left all of this to us. And sometimes we're like that little boy that said, wouldn't it be something to have $1,000? And we realize this little boy is the son of a millionaire many times over. And he's sitting there thinking, wouldn't it be nice to have $1,000? I know we've mentioned that little story and told the whole story several times. A couple of times before, but I just want us to keep in our minds and hearts, God has left us something. He said, my peace I leave with you. He was going away, not as the world leaveth, leave I unto you. But the Lord left peace for us. He left some things for us that the world could not buy. If we had all the gold in the world, it wouldn't buy what God left for us. He left us the kind of things that matter in life. And I want to look at some of those things again this morning. This little thought just seems so basic, I struggled with it. But I've learned not to argue with the inspiration of the Lord. And so you pray for us. In Psalms 1, I want to begin with a text that all of us know well. It says here, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You know, it's speaking of a certain person here that any of us can be, a man or a woman. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You know, this morning, I just want us to think about this little basic thought. You know, part of our heritage is that we can grow in all the aspects of our life, in all the phases, in all the different seasons of our life. The Lord planned and expects for us to grow. And made it so that we're not destroyed by the things that come into our life. Every one of them, He expects to be part of the growth process this morning. And I want to just think about that a little bit today. It's a heritage of the Lord. He goes on to say, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That is the heritage of the ungodly. But we're not the ungodly if we're serving the Lord in godliness and truth. And the Lord expects us. He says, He speaks of this godly man or woman. And He says He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. Now, He didn't say there'll be a drought and He won't be able to produce anything sometimes in His life. The Lord says that this godly man, He'll be like a tree that's planted by the rivers of water. And his leaf, it says, it's not going to wither. In his season, he's going to bring forth fruit. There's not going to be times in his life where it's impossible for him to bring forth any fruit for the Lord. Because the Lord is his stay. And the Lord is his help. It says the ungodly are not so. We have a heritage that the ungodly of the world do not have this morning. And you know, I just want to encourage us today. Open up our hearts, enlarge our tents, stretch forth our stakes, and take in more of what God has for us. I don't know what stage of life everyone here is in. I don't know what we're all passing through and what seasons we're in. But I will tell you one thing. God plans, expects, and will give to the godly a period of growth during every part of our life this morning. I want to look at Malachi 4 and 2. I'm going to read a number of, quite a few scriptures, I guess, this morning, Lord willing. And I know we're familiar with practically all of them. But, you know, in Malachi, he gives us a promise here. And I love this verse because I believe it. Malachi 4 and 2, he says, "Unto you that fear my name," who's he speaking to here? God's heritage. He's speaking to his people. Who is that? He's speaking to you and me. He's not speaking to some great somebody. He's talking to little people like you and me. Just his servants, just people in the world. We're not esteemed greatly. But you know what? He said, "Unto you that fear my name, shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall." Clark said, "Ye shall go forth in all the occupations of life, but particularly in the means of grace, and grow up as calves of the stall, full of health, of life and spirit, satisfied and happy." Do we believe this morning that that is for us? "As your faith is, so be it unto you." I believe the word of God. And the Lord told Joshua, "Every place you put the sole of your foot, it's going to be yours. Joshua, you're my servant. We're God's servants too. What did Joshua have over us? A different calling, that's all. He was one of God's servants and he had faith in God. That's something any of us can have. You know, this morning it is our privilege to enjoy the huge, great heritage that God left us. That the Lord, when he went back and he said, "My peace I leave with you," he left lots of things for us. And one of the things he left for us was that he plans for us to keep growing and keep producing all of our life. You know, he said in Isaiah 41, you could have scriptures forever on this subject, I suppose, but I'm just going to share the ones I felt inspired with. You know, 41 and 14 of Isaiah, he said, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob." Now, was the Lord demeaning us? No, he was just recognizing we're as helpless as the worm. We don't have much dignity outside of God. We're helpless without him. But he said something to us. "You're my people." He said, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." I want to start back up here, start on down in verse 17. Listen to the promise of the Lord to his people. He said, "When the poor and needy seek water." Now, is he talking about people seeking water out in the desert? He's talking about you and me in our life. And sometimes we come into seasons when all around us it's dry. There is no water. But you know what the Lord promised to us as his people? I believe this. I believe he wants to keep our soul fed. He wants to keep it well. He wants to keep it full. He wants it to be overflowing with his graces. Because he said it's not as the world giveth. It's not dependent on the things around us. And so he goes and he says, "When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them I hear you. You recognize that's part of the heritage of the people of God? He said when you're poor and needy, to this man will I look, to the humble and contrite and trembleth at my word. He's not looking for folks that are bold and brassy and flashy and all those things in the world bows down to. He says when the poor and the needy, the folks that need help, when they call upon him and there is none and their tongue faileth for thirst, I, the Lord, will hear them. You know what? This is a promise for the unsaved too, I believe. I, the Lord, will hear them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them. I will open rivers in high places and fountains in the midst of the valleys. I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water. You know, that's what God left for us. I will plant in the wilderness the cedar, the shittah tree, and the myrtle, and the oil tree. I will set in the desert the fir tree and the pine and the box tree together. You know, he said he'll do this in the desert. That's the heritage of the people of God. We in a desert today? We feel like we're in a desert? I'm going to tell you something. Call on the name of the Lord. Believe his promise, because he will set in that desert the pine tree, the myrtle tree. He'll set the box tree, all those things. They take water, don't they? He's going to take care of them. He's going to take care of us in our heart. He's going to cause us to bloom and prosper. Do we have to be beat under by the things of life until we can't hold our head up? The Lord will hold our head up. That's what we depend on. And the Lord said he will do it. Folks, the Lord plans for us to grow all through our life. When we get to the end of life, he expects us to be able to look back and see a marvel of his hands at work in our life. Over and over, through all the areas of our life, we look back, we see all these places, all kinds of different places in our life, and we will marvel at the way God has taken care and caused in that desert place there to be water, that they may see and know, verse 20, and consider and understand together that the hand of the Lord hath done this, and the Holy One of Israel hath created it. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning? I will tell you, saints, it's a heritage of the Lord. Why would we sit there and say, oh, I wish things could be right in my heart and my soul? I want to tell you something. The heritage that God left behind is one of richness and value. It's one that people, when they see it and they realize it, they sell everything they got, all their reasons, all their heartaches, all their problems, all their sins, all those things, and they buy it and they take it and they give their life for it. And that's how it comes to us this morning. We all know the scripture just a chapter or two back in Isaiah 40. He said here in verse 30, he says, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Could there be a time like that? Yes, for the ungodly it will be so. But I'll tell you what he says about the righteous. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They're going to soar over some things because of the Lord, because of the heritage of the Lord, because you wait on the Lord. And he causes you to be able to soar. The Lord wants it to be so in our lives. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. And they shall walk and not faint. Let's drop back to verse 28. Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard? Have you heard with your heart this morning? You know, we can hear with our ears and never perceive it. We can hear it and never believe it. We know it. But is it so for us? The Lord wants it to be so for us. He wants us to put our foot on it and believe, Lord, you're going to help me, and I'm going to humble myself. He says here, Hast thou not known? Hast thou not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to the might, to and to them that have no might, he increaseth strength. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning? It's the God we serve. It's the God we know. And he wants to do it in our lives this morning. I want to read one more scripture like this in Isaiah 35. Now, I don't know how long I'll be up here even, but I'm just going to share what the Lord gave with me, gave to me. And in verse 1, it says, the wilderness and the solitary place. You know what solitary is? Alone. The place shall be glad for them. You know what it's talking about? It's going to, and the desert shall rejoice. Those places, it's having a little, it's kind of using a little language here, descriptive. The desert shall rejoice and blossom as the rose. You know, those places that seem desolate, nothing good in them. You know what the Lord says? It's going to be glad for them. Going to rejoice. And it's going to blossom as the rose. Oh, the Lord this morning wants to do that in our lives. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice even with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given unto it, and the excellency of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of the Lord and the excellency of our God. Strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap as an hart, and the tongue of the dumb shall sing. Dumb sing, for in the wilderness shall waters break out and streams in the desert. Isn't that a wonderful promise this morning? That's wonderful. Thank the Lord. Waters break out in the wilderness and streams in the desert. You ever read that little book? There's several volumes of it, Streams in the Desert. Just gives you a little drink every time you read it, doesn't it? Streams in the desert. Does it mean we don't have any troubles, no struggles, no problems? Sure we do. But I want to tell you what God wants to do in the end with those things. He wants to use them for our good. He wants to use our lives, every aspect of our lives, to make us grow, to make us know Him in a deeper way. The Lord uses everything. There's nothing that He discards as useless. The Lord uses what comes into our life, what He brings, what He allows into our life. Every bit of it has great value. Why? Because God turns that desert into a land of springs and waters and streams. And then the trees go there and the good things grow by those things. Read on down here. And the parched ground shall become a pool, and the thirsty land springs of waters. And the habitation of dragons where each lay, whatever those dragons are, whatever those deep and terrible things, shall be grass with reeds and rushes. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. Folks, this isn't for the unclean. This isn't for the unclean. It doesn't matter what we say. It's not for the unclean. But I will tell you who it's for. It's for all of us that will allow the blood of Jesus to make us clean. Every one of us. We were all unclean. We were all that way. The Lord wants to make us clean. And then He has a heritage for us this morning. The unclean shall not pass over it, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools shall not err therein. Isn't that a wonderful promise of the people and the church of God? The Lord has given that for a promise to us. And maybe we would feel like we would starve. In Matthew 13, listen to this little parable, we're all familiar with this about the little mustard seed, the smallest of seeds. You know, the Lord's not looking for big things from us. He's looking for us to humble our hearts. And it says here, Matthew 13 and 31, another parable put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like, it's like this, to a grain of mustard seed, a little tiny thing, which a man took and sowed in his field, which indeed is the least of all seeds, little old thing, little old something. But when it is grown, it is the greatest among herbs. Those things that produce life-giving good things, those herbs, and becometh a tree, so that the birds of the air come and lodge in the branches thereof. You know, this morning, I just want to encourage us today. God wants to give us the kingdom. He really does. Do we believe that today? Not for others. Do we believe that today? For ourselves. In Luke 24 is a little story. I want to move to some things now that the Lord meets us in. In Luke 24, you know, the Lord will walk with us when we're all disillusioned. Most of us here have a road to Emmaus where we're walking along and talking and we're kind of disillusioned and don't understand. I'm just giving you what the Lord gave me here. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Jesus was taken from them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad? I'm going to skip on down in 25. And then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And you know, when they were walking along the way there, he began to talk to them and tell them all, open their understanding to all these things. You know, that road to Emmaus was a very important place in these disciples' minds, in their lives. They were walking along disillusioned and sad. And yet, the Lord walked along with them for a little ways there. And he started explaining things to them. You know, they carried that with them the rest of their life. That was of extreme value in their lives. You know, we all have one of those roads sometimes. And it goes on to say in verse 31, and their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? You know, here they were walking along the road to Emmaus, and they didn't understand what had gone on. And these things were so confusing to them. But you know, a little bit later after the Lord got to talking to them, they said, did not our heart burn within us? while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures, the Lord was wanting to use this. This was a very valuable place in their time. And he began to open to them things they had never known before. You know, God wants to do that with us. We have these places. And the Lord wants to just walk along with us a little ways. And then he vanished out of their sight. But you know what they did? They went back. And they told the others, they said, the Lord is risen indeed. And hath appeared to Simon. And they went back and began to tell the others that were gathered together some things they didn't know. You know, the Lord wants to use these things like this for us. He wants to take the things that would seem to harm us and turn them into everlasting joy. But we have to believe for it, because if we don't, we become faithless and our faith goes away on us. We can do that. But if we'll believe, the Lord will walk along with us and He'll begin to explain some things to us this morning. You know, I thought about another little place. The Lord wants us to drink from the fountain. I want to read that in John 4 and 7 and 10. I'm just bringing out different little illustrations here. John 4, verse 7. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away unto the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. You know what this morning? Do we know who it is this morning that's saying to us? And he says, if you would just have said, give me to drink, I would have given you. I would have given it to you. I would have given you living water. And he goes on down to say, whosoever drinketh of this water from this well here, he's going to thirst again. He's going to thirst in every way. It's not going to do anything for the inner man, and it's going to do only a little bit of good for the outer man, for the physical man, because you're going to thirst again. You're going to want more. You're going to need more in life. But he said, I'll tell you what, but whosoever, I put those words in his mouth, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. You know, this morning, the water that the Lord will give us will be in us. That changes the picture. Changes the picture, doesn't it? It's no longer where we're drinking of that. It's going to be in us, a well of water springing up into everlasting life. You know what? I don't know where we're at this morning, all of us, but this morning I want to encourage us. Ask him. He said, I would have given you that. This morning the Lord wants to give us something inside that springs up and that gives us everlasting life. That gives us everlasting help. That gives us peace when there is no peace. We begin to be troubled. Yes, we do. We see troubles. Fear cometh. Paul said one place, without were fightings, within were fears, however that is said. You know what? Paul was human. He experienced that, but he asked of the Lord. You know what? The Lord sent him some help. Sometimes it came from his brethren. Sometimes it came from the Spirit of the Lord through himself. But the Lord fed him and kept him. In the many places Paul had to go. There's a fountain this morning. And we read that the first time. There's a fountain opened in the house of David. And you know what? It's for sin and uncleanness. People that don't even know the Lord. You know what this fountain is for? It's for us to come and be able to wash and be clean. And enter in to a place with the Lord. He wants to give us... Excuse me. He wants to give us of that everlasting life and put it inside us too. In Matthew 22 and 1 is another little place where it speaks of. Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. And the chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. I'm sorry, Matthew 22 and 1 to 4. Matthew 22. Okay, the kingdom of heaven. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his feast. This is what it's like. This is what Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like. It's like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again, he sent forth other servants, saying, tell them which are bidden, behold, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. You know, this morning, the Lord wants us to come. He wants us to come as we are, and he wants to fill the needs of our life. This morning, if our life is unfilled, if we haven't been able to find the needs filled, I want to encourage all of us. These promises are for you and for me. Thank the Lord. They're for us. All the things we've read this morning, God takes good care of his folks. He takes good care of his people. Sometimes we have to fight for it. What do we have to fight through? The flesh, our feelings, our hurts, our wounds, our wants. We have to lay those things down at Jesus' feet and seek him and humble ourselves. He has provided for us all that we need. He has told us and prophesied that there would be streams in the desert. He's prophesied that the parched ground would be pools of water. You know what? Let's lay hold on it this morning. Let's lay hold on eternal life. Let's don't let anything cheat us out of eternal life. When the Lord has opened up to us his heritage, his inheritance that he has left behind, I give this unto you. He told us, he gives to us those things more than we stand in need of. Do we have to cripple through life without help? We might be crippled, but I want to tell you, we don't have to be without help. God will open up streams in those deserts. And I'll tell you, a good example of that is Fanny Crosby. She was a blind woman. She was blind because of a doctor's error, if I remember right. And she could have been angry at God. I don't have my eyesight. I'm a little girl. I have life ahead of me and I can't see a thing. Do you know what her grandmother told her? This is a blessing from the Lord. You are blessed. Her grandmother taught her that, and she accepted that. Her faith took that in. And instead of being crippled, she was set free. And she was set free to do what God wanted her to do. She humbled herself to where she was at, and she began to prosper, and things began to flow. That well that was in her began to flow out with songs. We have a number of them in our book. How many thousand songs did she write? I don't remember. Thousands.
About 8,000.
8,000 songs flowed out of that heart. 8,000 songs. Can you see this morning? You're blessed. Can you walk about this morning? You're blessed. And so would we be. Would we find something much less than our eyesight being gone and allow it to keep us from letting that flow happen in our life? When God bought it, he paid for it with his blood, and he left it behind for us. And he said he's coming back to get us. The Lord plans for us to have something very precious. He said the child shall die 100 years old. You know, I remember one time I was going to Miami to a meeting, and the barber there in Tulsa, in Sepulpa, Brother Ori Young, he told me to give a little message. to Brother Egbert Allen that was going to be at that meeting, and he said, "You tell him he's just a 70-year-old child." You know what he was saying? He was saying a mouthful. You're just a 70-year-old child. You know, the Lord wants us to not become old and bitter. He wants our life to still be new. He wants our life to still be young in the way that there isn't anything there that makes us old and bitter. The Lord wants to give us, He wants us to be a 70-year-old clean child inside. And you know, this morning, God has these things for us. Am I saying something that's not true this morning, saints? I believe it's not only biblical, it's just there for us. Let's step our foot on it. You know what? These things come at a price to us. Cost us everything we have. The one that found the pearl of great price, you know what it cost him? He went and sold everything he had. Jesus was speaking of the kingdom of heaven. All the things that he would have done something else with, he got rid of it all because he had to have enough to buy this pearl of great price. And so he bought the field. You know what this morning? It's going to cost you and me something too. I don't know what it costs you, but it's going to cost you everything you've got. You got to cash in your thoughts, your feelings, your reasons, whatever it is. All those things, they've got to be cashed in because it's going to take it all. But when you get it, it'll be worth a lot more than what we paid for it. A whole lot more. And so we have a heritage this morning. God left it behind for us. He wants us to have it. He wants us to enjoy it. And that means He wants our heart to be full of the good things of God. It is His heritage to us this morning. Amen.